Hi, friends. Welcome to the last episode of the year, the last episode of 2017 of the That Sounds Fun podcast. I am your host, Annie F. Downs, and with me today...
Yeah, can I do my own intro?
Yeah, of course.
You?
Yeah, of course.
Because you've introed me twice on this show, and each one, it's this really... Y'all, just one of my favorite guests. You may have heard him last year. He's a host of The New Activist, Eddie Kaufholt. And that's the part where you always pause because you're not quite sure how to do it. Eddie, right? Man, woo, so fun.
Oh my gosh, I don't woo. Okay, to be fair, I was so with you until you, I don't woo consistently.
I think everybody in Nashville, including people who just moved there, woo.
Why? That's just Why do thing. We do that?
I don't know, because you're just Nashville.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's just the whole thing. No, okay, you don't woo, but
I mean,
keep going.
I do. Well, so you know what's funny is that right before Christmas, I went to a Drew and Ellie Holcomb Christmas show, and I noticed that I was a consistent wooer.
Woo!
Yeah.
Man!
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think every vernacular has their own, like, kind of way of wooing, right? Because I'll say dude more than most people, but then I realized, like, a lot of people around here say dude. But you
right.
wouldn't say that, would you?
I mean, dude? When am I going to say, yeah, I am. I do say dude a lot. How, use it in a sentence in this. Are you going like, yeah, Drew and Ellie, dude. Are you using it in place of a woo?
It would be like, dude, thank you for this food. Amen. No, I'm just
No, kidding. You cannot call God dude.
Call him broasted. Dude.
Oh, we're going to get struck by lightning in two different locations.
We're 2 minutes into this show and it's already off the rails.
That's right.
I
as
feel
it
like
should
I
be.
You do your hosting thing. I'll be quiet. That's always the feedback that Cameron gives me. Like, hey, maybe just let me get through the ad reads and the hosting part before you decide to wreck the show. All right. So, Annie, go for it. Two, one. I'm quiet.
That was all. I don't know where we're going. You threw me off so quick.
I'm so sorry.
So today on the show, I called my friend Eddie, who you guys know and love and who introed himself. And I thought, if this is going to be the last show of the year, I just want to sit down and recap 2017 for myself and for Eddie. I just wanted to and Eddie, the other truth is that when people knew the Christmas party was coming, you got multiple requests to have you, or assumptions, requests and assumptions. Will you have him? Of course you're having him. That was kind of how it went down.
Yeah, it was. Tell me you won't have him again because you've cultivated this really thoughtful conversation. And then there's just these definitive pauses in it that happened once during the live show and once last Christmas when it was all just destroyed. You're not going to do that.
Right? No, it's fantastic. And Eddie, yes. I'm giving you public permission in front of these people who are listening, all of our friends. Mm-hmm. We can be funny and we can be serious. If you lead us in a way, I don't want you to feel pigeonholed. You aren't pigeonholed here. No. That sounds fun.
No, you lead me. Right. This isn't some sort of what was that book? That terrible. No, I don't want to reference that. You just lead me.
Okay.
But I feel your permission to be who I am.
Be
I will take that permission.
Maybe
I will take that.
Maybe one of the things we're gonna hit is our sentences for 2018, some goals. And one of my goals is that all my friends feel a ton of permission to be themselves.
Gosh, that's the goal of our life, isn't it? Isn't that the whole thing is we're just trying to get back to who we were probably created to be in the first place? Like, I feel like every breakthrough I ever have in my life is not a new thing I learned, but just a thing that was already there that had been so deeply hidden.
Really?
So I feel like yeah, 2018, let's just get rid of some more junk.
Oh, listen, that's a great sentence. Just get rid of some more junk. And you know my other thing for 2018, and then we really will recap last year. Yeah. I am really good at saying yes, and I'm really terrible at saying no. And I think I'm going to really actively say no. Well, say no thank you, because I'm Southern. But I'm going to say no thank you.
No, woo.
Yeah, woo. No, woo.
Yeah, do you feel like you've over-yessed your year? Do you feel?
Yeah, I do.
Is it stuff that in retrospect was like when you were there or when you were doing it or whatever, you knew in the moment this was not my best yes, as the book would say, right? Or was this like, taken as a whole, it was a good year. It was just too much of a good year.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Probably. Yeah, I think where I sit now in December is, how did I get to where I'm having some of these feelings I'm having? I think it's because I kept saying, yes, 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 I'd love to. And I push all the way through. As a seven, I mean, it's kind of one of the gifts of being a seven is we can, like Enneagram seven, is we can go and we can do and we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep going and going and going and having a good time and genuinely having a good time. We're not faking it. We're genuinely having a good time. And then when everything slows down, you realize you're probably significantly more tired and run down than you realized you were. And a wiser number, a 9, a 5, a wiser human, a more mature human, listens to their body and goes like, well, maybe I should do half of that. And I would still be in important relationships and loving friendships and still get my work done, but also have thought more.
Yet it is hard, right? Because we still have
What's
the demands.
What's your number again? Will you remind me?
I am a deep four.
That's right. 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 Yeah. So we still have these demands. Go there.
Well, but also as a four, I'm already thinking about the conversation, what I've already said, and regretting things and thinking about, like I'm 6 minutes into a spiral, basically.
Do you feel like are fours better at, do fours choose to draw boundaries for their own mental and physical health better than some other numbers do? Like, because y'all can feel your negative feelings more easily?
Maybe. Not this four, but okay. I think some are better at it. Brianne, my wife, has been really helpful with that, in that she's just a great sounding block for that. And I think that, because she's a three and just been, she's really good at, when I don't draw boundaries, helping me with that. But
yeah,
I feel like generally, but the other thing too is, what I was going to say before is, it is really hard to say, you know, to do like your best yes and to say no to things, because like for people that like have like children or demanding jobs like you, or like there's just a lot we don't have a choice to say
no to.
Right. Like even if I got rid of all the extemporaneous stuff, it's still a pretty busy year coming up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. It's a hard balance. How will you balance that? Because you still got to like...
I still have to do my job.
Yeah, you got a whole business to run. You've got friends that you care about. Like, how will you decide? Have you figured out your filters?
No, I haven't. I have not figured out my figure? What? I got my figure down. I have not figured out my filters, partly because I am just coming around this idea that it matters to figure them out in a new way. I have historically figured out filters for me. It feels like a new level. It feels like it's time for a new level for some reason.
That makes sense. That's a good resolution. I feel I'm running into the year a little bit in the opposite, whereas it's it's not like I need more to do. But creatively, I'm looking forward to what's next. Because a lot of 2016 and 2017, every creative second was spent on figuring out the new activist.
Yeah.
What is the new activist? How does this fit within the context of IJM? How do I make a show? How do I edit a show? Like every single part of the show. But now it's sort of on, it's kind of rolling. Like we know our format, we know what it's like your show. We know generally, except for the Christmas episode, we know generally what to expect throughout the course of the year. And so I'm curious about what's next creatively next year.
Will y'all keep doing, are you going to do another season?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're deep into three, and we'll do like the second half of three at the beginning of the year. And I'm going to just keep the show going.
I was about to say, did you enjoy it as much? I remember when you were thinking it through and planning it, you thought you would enjoy it, but didn't know you would.
Yeah, I do. I do love it because, I mean, one, there's just the creative aspect. Uh-huh. So I do like producing and editing and mixing and doing all that stuff on the show. But also you hear someone give feedback. Like, I had never thought about racial reconciliation in that way because Latasha Morrison was on the show, and you realize, you're like, oh, this actually moved the needle in somebody's life at some point.
Right.
And that makes it like, oh wow, this is more than just zeros and ones that we upload to a cloud. This was an actual moment for someone to realize something new about the world or something about themselves. And so, yeah, it has been exceedingly enjoyable.
Wait, excuse me. When we upload podcasts, there's zeros and ones. What are you talking about?
No, it's all data. None of this is, it's all zeros and ones. All our voice, everything.
I don't know anything. I'm scared.
No, but that's when I get really in my head about it. I'm like, what are we creating? It's all just data. And then it just gets
weird. Have you watched the Jim and Andy documentary on Netflix about Jim Carrey and Andy Kaufman?
I sure have. And I loved
it. Of course you did. I just watched it last night, and I've been meaning to watch it. I had a night off. I was just, I wasn't scrolling through Netflix. I don't really do that, but I was just kind of looking. Not that you can't do that, but I just was kind of like, oh, and I saw it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been meaning to watch that. And at one point he goes like, Jim Carrey at the end, he goes, I mean, we're all in Truman Show.
Yeah.
Like, it's just me and this teacup. And I was like, oh, I'm going to spiral. what is he doing to me?
Jim Carrey is deeply enlightened.
Yeah, right? He's really interesting. What do you think of the show, the movie?
I liked it. I'm always curious about, like, because for those that haven't seen the movie, generally what happens is in the movie Man on the Moon, where Jim Carrey plays Andy Kaufman, and this was like, this movie's like 15 years old, maybe more, less,
right,
around there. But like, it's an older movie. But the idea, the thing was that Jim Carrey had taken all this documentary footage of his process of making that movie. And his process was essentially that he became or channeled Andy Kaufman.
I mean, he acts like he really legitimately channeled Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, like never got out of character and was him. And then that's where it starts to get into like the Jim Carrey part of it. It wasn't like when what's his name played Abe Lincoln and just insisted on being called Mr. President when he was not shooting.
Wait, this I do not know that story.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
He did that?
When Daniel Day-Lewis played Mr. Lincoln, when he was on set.
He made people call him the president?
But he wasn't being weird. He was just, he would stay in character. And so when he would be studying his lines, famously, Steven Spielberg went up to him and said, Mr. President, can I run a few things? But like, there's still Daniel Day-Lewis in there, right? There's still
Whereas with Jim Carrey.
Right. Oh. Yeah, Jim was gone. Like,
he was gone. I mean, the part where he had an hour-long private conversation with Andy Kaufman's daughter as Andy Kaufman. Okay, listen.
Right. That's where it got a little Ouija boardish to me, right? Like, there was a little bit of, like, channeling stuff that made me uncomfortable. But at the same time, I mean, Jim speaks about it in a way that is kind of... It was at least thoughtful and thought-provoking.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know that I am going to build any part of my life around what I learned when I watched. I am really glad that I watched it. I think it was really interesting. I thought, I am glad to know that this happens for artists. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just thought, man, this is really interesting.
Yeah. At what point, though, is it like, hey, man, just act? Like, he could have just been Jim Carrey, and then when they're like... rolling, he just throws on the voice and does the lines. Like, I'm always funny about, it's because I don't understand acting, and I could never imagine acting. And I'm like, why aren't you just acting? Have you ever tried to act in your life?
Me?
I mean, outside of the masks that we all wear.
I was about to be like, you mean when I show up somewhere I don't want to be, but they think I want to be there? No, I'm just kidding.
I am honored to be here.
Oh my gosh, stop making it sound like it's that. No.
Target.
Yeah, Target. I love you. I do love Target.
I know you do.
Yes, I did do some acting in my younger years in school.
Weird. Right?
So here's what I always knew, though, from the beginning of time. I knew I liked the idea of being famous, but I wanted to be famous for being me, not for being someone else.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be an actress. I always wanted to host a TV show or like be like an Oprah or an Ellen or a Jimmy Fallon. I always wanted to be famous for being me.
Well, that kind of came to fruition, right?
Like weird, right? I mean, I'm not.
You got to be famous, but
I'm just me. And yeah.
That's kind of amazing. You willed it into existence.
Just like Jim Carrey writing that $10 million check to himself.
Right. You just inhabited the character of Annie Downs.
The future Annie F. Who knew, right? Did you do acting when you were little?
You know, I didn't. A lot of singing, of course, because I have a beautiful voice. But I did a lot of like that. But I always tried to act a few times. And I was in the play Godspell. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes,
Godspell?
Of course.
So I was in and I got a part in Godspell and there was a bunch of lines in that. And I just found myself, whenever I would need to sing, I would have a sense of it, right? Like, okay, here's where I go and what I do. And you kind of get, but when it was time to speak lines, it was like, who am I? Where do my arms go? How do I walk?
Yes.
I did not know what a word is. Yeah. What is that word? You just, and I always felt like if I could unlock it, I could figure it out.
Right.
But I never unlocked it. And it was terrible because I had, you know, and that was it. And that was like sophomore year of high school. And it was one of those moments where you're like, I'll never be able to do that. This isn't like a thing that I could maybe work into, or like, I don't know if I could ever run a marathon, but I think I could train for it. I was like, nope. Never connect.
Yeah. That's, I feel very similar. I think I mean, I could have made myself get better at that, but I'm not going to.
That should be a 2018 goal for you.
is to, to be an actress?
Get back on the stage and really be. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. What would people, I mean, everybody be like, why is Annie being so, I mean, yeah, there's, all of our friends would mock me relentlessly. We have taken this one off the tracks big time. You're welcome.
I mean, that's my 2017 year in review, is how much I loved The Crown.
Oh, The Crown. Right. You're right. I love The Crown. Let's, before we review hard, I want to lay the one rule we laid. We're not talking about politics. Not because we're not smart and not because we don't know, but because that is just not fun.
No, certainly. For a podcast where things are supposed to be fun, that's not going to be fun.
Right. So I just want to give the listener, they don't need to be like edge of their seat. I wonder what Eddie and Annie's wisdom and knowledge is going to bring me about the American and worldwide political system. The answer is, we're going to talk about how sometimes I used to wear candy canes as retainers. Like, that's on my list. So different than politics.
That was a laugh cough where you weren't expecting to laugh and your whole throat gets choked up in it. Yeah.
That's literally on my list. So I just wanted to give people kind of that kind of understanding if this is their first rodeo.
Well, and you can't look at 2017. Like there is going to be enough. I'm almost pre-tired of the coverage the end of the year.
Right.
Because it has been just an exceedingly weird year.
Yeah.
Natural disasters, massive sweeping injustices, the political climate, everything. Like, it is pretty clear that things are not as they should be in many different spheres. Yet, I'm glad that we're doing the show because it's not a lack of awareness of that. It's just like, let's lean into some of the stuff, even if it's goofy stuff.
Right? Everything you said is true. Right. And I care for my people who have been suffering from all those injustices, from the weather to everything else. Also, I love The Crown too, right? So
yeah. Have you started the second season?
No, I haven't. I'm saving it. Have you started the second season?
Yeah. Yeah, we started the second season the other night. It is.
Is it great?
It's deep. It's going to take you, it's going to make you miss, I'm going to miss the fact that they've already cast the next characters. This is Charles and Claire Foy, Elizabeth's last year. Do you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the show will keep going and they will age, but the actor and actress who
they
are playing.
They age out? We get new ones?
Yeah, they aged out. They've already cast the next.
I can't feel that.
I know, it's hard because Claire Foy
is Elizabeth. She is Queen Elizabeth.
Oh man, the 1,000-yard stare that she's able to do when you can tell that she's holding the monarchy on her shoulders. But, well, this is a real review of this show now,
yes,
isn't it? Apparently that's a we can do that another day, but amazing.
No. I mean, I've been thinking about this with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Like, for starters, she, as we talked about on our Hallmark Christmas episode, she is living a Hallmark Christmas movie, an actress to a princess, right? Like, that's who she is. She's living it. But also, like, what is it like when there's a TV show about your family? Like, really about your family? Like, that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle sit down on the couch, they've just made dinner, they pop on Netflix, and the top one is like, oh, there's my grandparents.
Yeah, yeah. I think of like if someone was sitting down and just watching a show called, you know, Uncle Jeff and Aunt Joyce.
Like, that's, right.
That's my family.
Right. How wackadoodle is that?
It is.
So
and I also
bizarre.
Wonder how, I mean, don't you even if you ever get quoted in something or written about, like, don't you always feel like, oh, that wasn't even close to right? Like,
yeah,
David and
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
How wrong must The Crown be, really?
Right. And yet I'm acting like I am watching a pure documentary and I know exactly everything about the royal family that I've ever wanted to know.
Everything I know about England, which I would say is a massive amount, comes from that and Downton Abbey, one of which was a fully fictional show. Like no part of that existed.
Right.
But I would say that I am pretty well versed in
now
culture.
You know everything about England because of those two shows. Right. I get it. Our English friends who are listening are going to really resonate with what you know, I bet. I bet they really feel like.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm sure that they get all of their American history from watching like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Thor and stuff like
Man,
that.
Man, you know, I did have a friend in Scotland who used to quote The Wire to me all the time. And I'd be like, I don't know what you're saying. And he was like, it's from The Wire. And I was like, I've never watched that. That is your only America? I've never watched that.
And it's like a pretty specific part of America in a specific period of time.
Like, very similar to The Crown, actually.
Right. Yeah, actually, it's a complete It's actually a complete correlation.
Okay, let's stick on the favorite movies, because you know what else came out this year is the new Beauty and the Beast, and we have not talked about this, Eddie. But I know that you live with all females, and so there's no way you didn't watch it.
Okay, can I talk about this, though?
Yeah.
And I would say that's a sentence I don't need to talk about on a podcast, because that's why we're here to talk about this. But let me say, I did not watch it, and there was a specific reason.
Yeah, tell me why.
One, I enjoyed the original so much and just have such fond feelings of seeing it like in a theater when it came out when I was a kid.
Yeah, same.
That I really don't want it wrecked. And even though I heard the live action was totally passable, like I can't bring myself to push play. And it's for free everywhere. The second reason is back to Downton Abbey. The guy that plays the Beast was Lady Mary's first husband that died.
Yeah.
And I didn't like Lady Mary, and I don't like him. Done.
Okay. I can hear all of that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now, let me also tell you, you would never know it was Matthew Crawley in that suit.
Matthew Crawley, good job.
You're welcome.
Good pull of that. I was trying really hard. I even slowed down my cadence.
I didn't notice. You did it beautifully. Matthew Crawley is who that is, and you would not know it is him. Yeah. And also, he is my problem character of that movie as well, because, now listen, I've never tried to animate and computer create a person, so I have no idea how hard it is.
I haven't.
I don't know why.
I was just kidding. I never thought you did.
I need to pick up a new hobby, like creating. But I feel like they overdid it. I feel like there's a couple of times you can tell he's a computer guy instead of a real guy.
Yes.
Instead of a real beast.
Right. It's like the animation just it hasn't caught up enough for it to be believable yet.
That's a little bit about it. But I also went and saw it twice in the theater. So joke's on me. So
two times.
Yeah. Two different crowds. And you know me. I said yes twice. This is a perfect example.
Because you went with people and they wanted to see it.
Yeah. Instead of going, no, thank you, I've already seen it. I said, I'll go again the next night with a different group of people because I want to.
Wow.
I did the exact same thing with Les Mis. I saw Les Mis two nights in a row with two different groups of friends. Now, to be fair, Les Mis is incredible. And if the tour comes near you, the guy who plays, not Jean Valjean, but the bad guy.
Jeremy. Bob.
You actually got me there. It's Javert. Yeah, so well done. You started it.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah. That guy's unbelievable. And so he's so talented. It's unreal. So.
I love Les Mis. I loved the movie.
See, I did not love the movie. You love the movie.
Okay, now I love the movie because it was my first exposure to Les Mis. I'd never heard the music. I had never seen it. So it was the first time. Why did you not like the movie, since we're doing a 2014 year in review now?
I just did not love. The thing I love about Les Mis is how it all happens on a stage right in front of you. I love the music. I love the art of telling a story with the limited space you have for a musical. And when it turns into a movie, it does not any longer have limited space.
Yeah, because you started in the theater. That makes sense. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. So,
can I talk about one of my favorite things of the year that's related to movies?
Sure.
I know we're going a little bit out of order.
No, I'm not scared.
This is... Nice. Let's be brave, and I want to talk about it. This was the year of MoviePass.
Okay, I haven't done it yet, but I am the last on the train to do it. Tell me how it's changed your life.
I'm going to tell you, and you're going to say, it's too good to be true, and I understand that you would think that, but it is absolutely true. So MoviePass.
Go.
You pay $9-something a month, or you can buy a whole year for which comes out to like $6.50 a month, and literally, they send you a credit card that says your name and MoviePass on it. It's just regular Visa credit card.
Yeah.
And you have an app. You link it all together and you open up the app and all the movies that are playing around you. And I'm saying like all the movies. Now, not IMAX or 3D, but just like all the normal movies at all the times, everything. Like you look at it, you say, okay, that's the movie I want to go to. You click on it and it says, go ahead, go on in. And you walk up to the front door and you say, I want one ticket for Star Wars. And you hand them your MoviePass credit card. They swipe it, give you a ticket, you're out of there.
That's game over.
It is unlimited movies. And we're not even sponsored.
For $9 a month? So you pay for less than one movie a month and you can see as many movies as you want a month?
Yes.
At any theater?
Yes. This is what I'm saying.
I can't understand.
If you see one a month, then you've paid
for it. Yeah, you've overpaid.
Well, that's what I wanted to think, because I thought, okay, is this one of those things where I'm saying, oh, yeah, if I see one a month, I've paid for it. But in reality, I only saw 5 movies last year, so I'm spending more than I really need to. It's, no, definitely not. Always see a Star Wars. Always see the action hero movies. Done. Movie Pass has been paid for.
See, I don't always see the Star Wars unless I'm, those don't do anything for me. And so unless I'm dating someone that really cares, I don't care. And so those aren't my first jump-ons, but I could find a movie a month.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because you know that you're hopping on because you're trying to be supportive and fun, but it doesn't matter if you don't care. Because Bree's not on board with Star Wars. Like, she's
but she goes.
But, well, no, she's probably not going to go in December. I mean, maybe.
Okay.
But maybe if it's like, oh, date night, yeah, let's go see Star Wars. But if she did not see it, I would still be there and it would not be a thing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I just, but again, this is my saying yes situation where I think, I think it will be fun. If you think it's going to be fun and you want me there, I'm going to have fun. So yeah, I'll go to a movie. I don't care what movie you want to go to. I'm probably going to go as long as I'm going to get a Coke Icy. I'm fine. If the Coke Ice machine's broken, we're going to have a whole other story to tell ourselves. But
no, that's a whole, that Movie Pass can't handle that, but there should be a, is the Coke Icy machine working app?
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Because there's a McDonald's one. Somebody created a McDonald's app where is the McDonald's, this is a real story from this year, is the ice cream machine in McDonald's working app is basically like what it is. And it's like crowdsourced information because people get mad because apparently they notoriously shut down and everybody just wants a, you know, a dollar cone
and
or
I
a
had
Blizzard.
No idea about that since I'm allergic to dairy until Wendy's trolled McDonald's and made a joke about their ice cream not working. And I was like, I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, but people created an app.
Wow. Okay.
For it, which I just love. This is what technology is really for.
Yeah.
It's creating apps to see if our ice cream situation is working.
Yeah, to see if our treats are available or not. Okay, here's the other thing. Here's what we did. We made a plan, you and I, of the we wanted to list 5 things that could have gone better for us personally in 2017. So we saw great movies, and now I'm gonna get Movie Pass.
Yeah.
But we don't usually do any homework coming into this. We did a minimal amount of homework just because I did want to really process through things that I wish would have gone better for me in 2017. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you want to lead? We'll just go back to back. We'll just go 1-to-1.
Can I ask you though? Because I'm afraid that it's going to be like the thing where I do one and then you do one, but mine was like super silly and yours was like—
Oh, no. Mine's very serious.
I learned to love. Okay.
No. Mine's real serious. So, okay, you start.
Okay. Okay, here's one of my only serious ones. I did not write a word this year.
Oh, really?
I don't think I wrote anything.
Okay.
And I've gotten pretty locked into like, what should I write and where? Actually, that's not true. I submitted 2 articles that got totally shut down from a humor website. It was a shot in the dark. It was an exercise because I was like, maybe this will start me writing. But I used to write pretty regularly for Relevant.
Yeah, you did.
Have stopped doing that, and I just have not written it, and that feels like there's a void. And I looked at the last thing that I had published, even just minorly published, like even just because I don't have a blog or anything, so I'm kind of at the whim of people that will publish. It was end of 2016, and I just felt
a whole year off.
Yeah, I don't know that the world needs it, but I need it.
Sure.
So that was just for me. You know, that was a thing that I did not love about this year.
Okay,
mine
is not quite that serious. you're
like, man, I just had way too many ICs.
Yeah, I did. No, that was 2016. In 2017, my real problem is that my bottom teeth moved like a lot. And I don't know why.
I don't know.
And I'm really, part of my job is that I take pictures with people a lot. And so I see my face a lot.
What?
More than in the mirror, right? Like I see pictures of myself when people tag me on things. And I have really noticed a shift in my teeth. So.
Wait. I'm so sorry.
This was a hard part of my 2017.
Fundamentally, first of all, that was not equal sequel. I was like, I felt like I haven't expressed my soul. And you're like, I think my teeth are moving.
Equal sequel. Someone brought that up on Twitter a couple of days ago. Did you see it?
Oh, man.
Oh,
still
my gosh.
One of my favorites.
So, it's one of the best things when you said that you have to be equal sequel.
What is the evidence that you have of the movement of your teeth?
Photographic evidence. I can see that the bottom left guy is crawling behind his friends. So I'm going to have to get braces next year.
Well, now we've brought up a whole can of worms. Because I, for years, have had just an inherent distrust of adults who have braces.
Why?
Because you look at an adult with braces, and you may be, like, you know, changing my opinion, but you haven't yet. Because I'm like, you look at an adult with braces, and you're like, what has been going on for the last 37 years that you have not had braces? Like, what is it about your whole upbringing? And maybe they didn't have money until then.
Right.
But then you're like, well, I know you, and I know you have had a full-time job for 13 years. Mm-hmm. Why now? I always just, it's not like a full distrust. It's just a little bit like, why now?
What happened? What happened? I get it.
So, but apparently I didn't know that as an adult, you have a whole shifting of the lower plate.
Well, do you wear your retainers from when you had braces?
I never had braces.
Okay, hold on. You have a strong stand on adult braces when you don't even know what they feel like. Like, you don't even, that's like me taking like the world's biggest stand on, I can't say what I want to say. Okay, for real, I can't, how do you have such a strong stand on braces when you have never had braces?
I believe it is by that ignorance that I am looking.
I am looking. I'm currently pulling up your face on the internet.
Okay.
And what I notice over and over again in pictures that you post is that you are not smiling, showing your teeth.
Yeah, I have. Every time I go to the dentist, they ask me when I had braces because of how straight they are. I just got real lucky.
What?
Yeah, I got really lucky. And conversely, because we need to get off of my teeth because it's just the weirdest thing I could have possibly talked about in this moment. But I brought it up. It's my fault. But like my sweet brother not only had to have braces for a long time, but then when he was almost done having his braces off, he pops over the front of his bike in the neighborhood and breaks his jaw.
I can't.
To which they decided then to just leave the braces on so that they could wire his mouth shut for like 6 months where he ate soup for 6 months.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was just like, I've never had braces. I don't understand adults with braces. My teeth are perfect. Seems like maybe what we've pointed out is not an issue with your lower plate, but just a massive hole in my personality. Just like a cruddy person.
No, that's not true. But that is the hard thing that's happened to me is I did have a realization that it may be time to do something about the lower. Because I stopped. So for your just knowledge, I stopped wearing my retainer in college. And so for a decade, my teeth have been shifting upon their own nature. And a lot of people, you probably don't know this because you're not a braces guy. A lot of your friends, you should ask around, that had braces when they were little still have metal permanent retainers inside their mouths all the time. Did you know that? Most people have like a metal bar behind, much like I use candy canes at times, as I wrote on my list. People have metal retainers that are permanent in their mouths to hold their teeth in place so they don't shift.
Do they still do like retainer talk? Like, do they talk like they have a retainer?
No, because 19 friends out of 24 of yours are wearing a retainer every time you talk to them because it's a permanent retainer.
Wow.
I know. I need you to ask around. I need everyone, you guys, as y'all are listening, will you just tweet at us? Will you tweet at Eddie and I if you have a permanent retainer? Because we need to know.
Please let me know. I'm about to go hardcore off social media for the rest of December. So it'll be great to get back on in January and just be like, oh my. I was wrong. I hit a nerve. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That'll be interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, so pause there. You're taking the rest of the month off. What's it about?
It has been another, well, probably 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18 realization that I just have to build in silence. And this isn't an introvert thing. It's just the amount of life that happens. And it's like, I have to turn down the noise. And one of the simplest ways to turn down the noise is I just take social media sabbaticals, which are great. And in reality, I have been pretty bad at it this past year. I've just been a little more, it's been, you know how it kind of crosses into that little thing inside you where you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on. Mm-hmm, it's a little neat-ish. And then it starts to like brush up on like, this isn't like addiction, but this isn't just like just reading Twitter. This is sort of like this is like feeding a thing in me that needs to not be fed. So I'm going to
you listen to that.
I'm going to starve that thing and see what's brewing.
Yeah.
And I get some time off from work because IJM is just really generous and kind. And I work with churches mostly, and all the churches are deep into Advent and nobody's paying attention to anything but Advent right now, which totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. So just take some breathing room, but I look forward to hearing about
when you return.
I have a purple sparkly retainer.
Oh my gosh, no one sounds like that. You are going to be shocked. You are going.
There's a picture of my dog Fluffles on it.
Oh my gosh.
I lost it in the dumpster and my teacher had to go find it.
Wow, you are really off on what it is like to have a retainer as an adult. Just telling you. Just
Well, I'm really sorry for you that you, are you sorry? Do you care? Are you going to deal with it?
Yeah, it's just money.
Or do you not care?
Yeah, I am going to. I clearly care. It came up as my number one of the top bad things that happened in 2017. So, yeah, I care. I really care.
I'm laughing because I'm just sorry that I made fun of it so much. No, I'm so sorry.
That you have a whole set on adult braces when you've never had them. There are some very respectable people in my life who had adult braces.
Name one.
Tammy, that sounds like I'm lying. Tammy that used to work at Crosspoint and doesn't live anymore.
Don Registerinfen. That's nobody.
Tam Hodges. It just took me a minute to find the last name. Tam Hodges. I found it in my head.
If anybody in DC Talk had braces as an adult, then I will change my stance.
Well, certainly, as you would.
Those are the respectable people.
Okay,
in my
life. Your turn. What's another bad thing that happened in your 2017 or thing you would do differently?
Yeah, I wasn't big on the hurricane this year.
Oh, sure. A hurricane. Tell me what happened to you about that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, in preface, we had it way better than most of the entire world down here. So I will say that this is one of those things where it was like bad for me, but I also have perspective that I would do it all over again if that was the only. But I've never actually been through a big hurricane. So normally when Floridians say like, yeah, we're used to hurricanes, what that means, and P.S. I live in Orlando, Florida, but what that means for Floridians is that the outer bands of the hurricane have come through. And, you know, it's like 70 mile an hour winds and a lot of rain and it's kind of crazy and you wake up and trees are down. But generally, it's just sort of a wild thing that most Floridians, a smaller amount of Floridians have actually been through the eye of a hurricane. And so we decided to stay home. And in the middle of the night, right before we lost power for a week, like it was right before that, we found out that the hurricane had bumped right and went right over our house. And
while y'all were snoozing?
I mean, we weren't, but the girls were. Like, even Lucy were fast asleep. I will say, Lucy is the best. There was a whole, like, cat, I don't remember what it was, but it was like cat four by the time it came over our heads. And I really thought, okay, the roof's going to leave the house. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get, it was no joke. I was legitimately scared. And Lucy, she got a solid 8.5 hours of sleep and woke up with her hair a mess and was like, hey, I was like, good job, Lucy.
Yeah, serious.
But that was legitimately scary. And then to be without power and then to find out just, you know, for people in Puerto Rico and people in Houston and just, you know, and all around the outskirts of Florida, that was a crazy thing this year. Yeah. We will evacuate every time.
Yeah. Lesson learned, right?
Yeah. Just get in a car and go away.
Right.
Why do you have to do this?
You don't have to sit through this. Right. Even if your house survives, but you don't have power and you can't get out for days, like just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Just get out of town. Mm-hmm. Just we have friends. Mm-hmm. You can just drive up 75. You can find a pal to hang with.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, if you keep going up 75, you'll eventually get to Nashville. I mean, you guys hop over to 24, but I'm there.
I love Nashville.
So come on. I know you came this summer. That was great. Okay, again, mine is a different category than yours. I realized this year that I don't really like Beyonce.
Oh, that's interesting.
I laugh because I have nothing better to follow up your hurricane with. That's the next most serious one on my list.
Well, what's really nice, though, is that all the braces talk just got obliterated by what you just said. So why don't you tell me, before I make any inferences, why you are not that into Beyonce?
Yeah, well, here's why this is a problem. It's a problem because I'm the only one. I don't dislike her. I would be friends with her if she called, if she wanted to be on the podcast, if she wanted to get coffee sometime. I'd be friends with her.
You would lend your platform to her.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would allow her. No. It's not a Beyonce as a person problem.
Right.
It's that the hype is too much for me. I'm not into the hype. You know, I'm not into the queen bee thing. I'm not into the I'm just not into the, I'm not into the whole thing, the presentation.
Okay. Then, all right.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So when the hype is over, do you like her music? Have you listened to her recent album?
I haven't got, I can't get that far into it because I can't hear it without seeing my friends talking about it in my mind. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to like it. I don't want to like it.
Yeah. That is maybe the problem with Beyonce is because if you just listen to it, you're like, oh boy,
it's great.
I get it. It is a crazy hype machine.
I just don't want to hear that you're the richest person I've ever known in my life. And I don't want to hear that, like, secretly your whole album is about Jay-Z cheating on, and then Jay-Z has a whole album about cheating on you. Like, I don't care. I just don't care enough, I think.
I understand that. Can I tell you,
great.
I have a similar reaction to Taylor Swift. And I know
really?
That people adore her, but the whole thing where it's like, oh my gosh, she unfollowed everybody on Twitter. And then the next day it's like, ooh, she posted a picture of a snake. You're like, She's not making a statement. She's promoting it, but the whole thing. And then she sold more. I think this year, didn't she sell more albums in pre-sales? It was some crazy. It was like definitely more than any other album ever in pre-sales. But it was like more than any other album this year. Uh-huh. Or it was some crazy like thing. I feel that way about her. But apparently that she does not resonate the same way with you. Yeah. Beyonce is the one that hits
you.
Well,
yeah. But I have had trouble with Taylor's current album for that same thing. Where I'm kind of like, okay, everybody just sing songs that I like. But you know who has been the bright spot is Kelsey Ballerini. Have you listened to her album? Do you like her?
No, I listen to mostly rap. But tell me about Kelsey.
But I mean, did you listen to old? Did you like 1989 Taylor Swift?
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
I still was listening to rap then, but yeah,
okay.
Tell
me your album of the year in the rap department.
Oh, I mean, it would be Jay-Z or Kendrick.
Okay,
it would be the album of the year in any department.
Well, like, not I think my the department.
No, but I'm saying, like, if I had to pick album of the year Grammys, it would be those. It wasn't just like they won best. You know, best rap album or best R&B or whatever.
Uh-huh, right, okay.
I think the best. But yes, okay, so, but you were saying Ballerini.
Yeah, Kelsey Ballerini. I just think if you like 1989 Taylor Swift, you're going to love Kelsey Ballerini's current album. Because she is filling the Taylor-sized Swift hole in my heart.
Right. No, that's right.
She's yeah.
That's really
okay,
funny.
So I'm going to let you go again and hope that you have, because I'm feeling bad about what I've brought to the table.
Yeah, well, my next one is not as serious. All my grandparents have died. No, that's not true.
My gosh.
Okay, here's one. And this was the one that I was probably most vocal about. It was funny when everybody else was like really, really talking a lot about Charlottesville and things.
Yeah.
I got pretty into this one and absolutely blew up my just any platform that would listen, which was the reformulation of Coke Zero.
Yeah, you really cared. You really cared.
And here's why. It is, okay, for those people that did not know, Coke Zero was the second best soda in the world. I do love soda. I know that it is probably giving me all measures of internal issues. I hear you. I still really love Coke Zero.
Sure,
so Coke Zero is the second best soda. And it was the number one of the most widely available sodas.
Sure.
One day they decide to change the formula, and it's the formula that they've been using in Europe for years, and they say tastes more like regular Coke.
Okay.
Here's the problem. It is not as good. And pretty much you just taste it and you're like, there's no way. You see how passionate I'm getting right now?
Yeah, I like it.
Like, I'm still just talking about soda. So I tweet about it, and they're like, because their whole thing was, just give it a try.
Right.
So I gave it a try, and it was complete trash, and I just did not like it.
Because
so,
you didn't
want
Coke Zero to taste like Coke. You just wanted to keep enjoying Coke Zero for itself.
Whatever little, 24-ounce cancer syrup that was, I liked exactly the way it was.
I don't want.
Have
a
they
new
changed
formula.
It back yet? Have they gotten you to change it? Have you done that yet?
Oh no. No, they have doubled down. There is Coke Zero everywhere. New down. Formula.
So you're not the gin hat maker to Gilmore Girls. That's because I'm pretty sure gin hat maker is the reason Gilmore Girls came back. She made it such a stink that they actually rebooted the entire show. And I wondered if you were going to have that kind of pull with Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I'm not sure if you're aware of my platform, but I do not have any pull. I am the 200th most popular podcaster in Central Florida. So I just want you to know that for what that's worth,
in
I can't
Central
even.
Florida.
I don't even get reservations at our local sushi place. Like
sure,
nothing happens.
Sure, okay.
But
that is. Yeah, so are you still? So changed. Did you switch to a different soda? Or are you still going Coke Zero and just like sad about it?
Oh no, I'm done. I'm back to my old first love, which was Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh yeah, I mean I like that so much. I just always called it DDP. I mean I used to drink that much of it that I would just call it DDP.
Right. DDP is great, yeah. And it was number three, and now it's back up to number two. And I just it's been a really hard thing. And I will tell you a little behind the scenes is Coke slid into my DMs one day.
Yeah.
And was like, because I did the tweet, and I hate it when people always talk about their own tweets. But the tweet, but it is pertinent for this story when they say their own tweets out loud, because they're like, oh, here's a funny thing I wrote.
Right.
But I wrote on Twitter something like, to add to the dumpster fire that is 2017, I just tried Coke Zero and it is garbage. Okay. So, right? Pretty on the nose critique.
Yeah. You didn't beat around the bush on that one little bit.
Yeah. So Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola slid into my DMs and said, hey, you mind if we use your tweet for marketing? And I was like, hey, listen, I'm just trying to be funny on Twitter. There's like an actual human being whose job is probably on the line. So if this does anything to that human being, they're like, oh, no. There's been a lot of reaction. We just are trying to capture all the reaction for internal communications. I was like, well,
wow.
Okay. So somewhere in Atlanta.
Yeah. Your tweet is like went up on a board in front of a president.
Yeah. And Somebody doesn't get a Christmas bonus because of that junk.
Yeah.
Because
so of
maybe
you.
Maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut. But. They could have also not ruined Coke Zero. So that
right?
was, I would
You know
say,
whose fault this is? Not yours. That's whose fault it is. It's not yours.
Yeah. And as long as it's not my problem, yeah, I'm not taking any responsibility.
No, you shouldn't. You just mainly shared an opinion.
Mainly.
And we're allowed
exactly
to do
right.
that, I think.
That's right. We're allowed to. We're allowed to.
Okay. Now, the truth of my list is that the next thing is more personal than global. But then I have a global one as well that yours seem to keep falling into the category of.
Should we not have synced up a little bit? Because I feel like we're not at all, we're not dancing to the same music.
No, we're bringing a full breadth of the year, though, if you will. I mean, is there ever a better an understanding of the year than what's happening right here?
Yeah. How many more do you have, by the way?
I have two more. I only have four.
Okay, good, because I only have one more after this. So we'll be at 4-4.
Okay.
That's all I cared about.
Equal. Here's my big concern. The U.S. did not make the men's World Cup this year.
And thank you for saying men's.
Yeah. Because the women's, that's like a thing that they just switched. Do you know this whole thing? They just switched the Twitter from U.S. soccer. And then, because there's a U.S. soccer Twitter, and then there's a U.S. soccer WNT, Women's National Team Twitter. And they just switched it and made the U.S. soccer one gender neutral and made a U.S. men's national team to match the U.S. women's national team. And they're trying to push the World Cup Association to change FIFA to change it to FIFA Men's World Cup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think I love that unless I'm missing some of the sensitivity.
No, I do love it. No, I do love it because it is the Men's World Cup. Because it's just called the World Cup, it's implying it's the World Cup versus the Men's World Cup and the Women's World Cup. All that to be said, it's a real bummer.com that the U.S. did not make the Men's World Cup because I have two goals with my podcast for people to love soccer and to love the Enneagram, and I'm killing on the Enneagram and I'm getting killed on the soccer front.
Yeah.
So
it really is indicative of is the U.S. just still brewing on soccer? Like, are we going to need another decade before or was it just a terrible? Because I mean, MLS. I had not seen a soccer game probably before the last couple of years, and MLS is blowing up and, Orlando.
Yeah, do you know how old the MLS is?
I have no idea.
You make a guess how long you think we've had MLS teams.
10 years.
They just did 21. So literally, it feels like this new thing that's come on the scene to you And they're in their 21st season of...
Honest to goodness, I left Seattle. We lived in Seattle, and I left the year that the Seattle Sounders had started. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that's... I was like, that's probably when it started.
Yeah. Because
they're like one of the older MLS
they
teams.
Are, they
apparently,
are.
Apparently, they just figured it out.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's a bummer for me. Because I mean, so my solution is we're still going to watch the World Cup, and I'm still going to push my... and encourage my podcast listeners to watch the World Cup. I think I'm going all in for Iceland.
How?
I think that's going to be my team.
How could you possibly?
How? You had the longest pause and then they're like, not even why. How are you going to do that?
What you heard was me taking everything I know about you, even little comments ever, and cycling that information through it and seeing if it stuck to anything.
Nope.
And nothing.
Well,
it just slid right through it. Why Iceland?
So here's a soccer stat, a soccer story. During the Euros last summer, maybe 2016, I don't think it was 17, I think it was 16, Iceland had this Cinderella story run on the Euros. Okay. There was a point when, like, 50% of the population of Iceland was in a soccer stadium cheering for their team in the Euros. I mean, it's an insane stat. And they did far better than anyone dreamed they would do in the Euros. And so they just kind of caught the world's eye a little bit. Well, not your world, my world. As like, who are these guys and where are they coming from? And they all look Icelandic, right? They're all super pale with blonde beards. I mean, it's just great. It's exactly what you think an Icelandic soccer team would look like. And I'm just hoping for another Cinderella story, I think, in the World Cup. Because they made it and we didn't.
Everybody's into Iceland now.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. Get on that Iceland train with me. I think you'll
like,
be glad
people,
you
like,
did.
People like move and up there and go on their vacation. It's like must be wonderful, right? But a lot of all the cool kids go to Iceland now.
Yeah, it does seem to be a bit of a destination spot. There, someone is making good money telling us to go to Iceland, some marketing person. Okay, what's your last thing on your list?
All right, now this is really petty, but I wore way too many t-shirts this year.
Oh.
I had a full backlash. So when I was campus pastor at a church, it was, you know, collars and, you know, trying to look pretty decent every single day. Jeans, but never jeans on stage.
Really? Kind of never jeans on stage?
Yeah, it's because the pastor that was there at the time did not like jeans on stage. And okay, fine. He can set the dress code. I thought it was crazy.
Was it khakis?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like,
okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So like, and a, you know, a halfway suit. No, so without a suit, without the jacket, basically. You don't wear a tie.
A halfway suit.
So then, you know, the IJM dress code is everyday suits. In headquarters in Washington, D.C., every day.
No, they're business professional constantly?
Constantly. Always suits all the time. And whatever the female equivalent of that is.
Suits.
And so I would dress like halfway, like, okay, I'm going to always wear a collar. But then this year I just got tired of it. And I promise you, I have worn a t-shirt and jeans almost every day. And I'm just ending the year feeling kind of schlubby about it.
Okay.
You know, because you feel like you just look at yourself and you're like, I am wearing my black t-shirt yet again. I'm just feeling junky.
Okay.
And I feel like I just dressed a little too junky. So right now, Brianne is awesome. And she just ordered me. I have a new J. Crew collared shirt on right now, and I feel a little bit more professional. So, like, if a pastor walked into my office right now, I'm not wearing, like, my Brooklyn Brewery shirt
right,
or something.
Right,
like that.
Because you office out of a church.
I do office out of a very lovely church in Orlando, Northland Church,
great
church.
Great church.
And you know, you see pastors and people, and it's a big church, so they have, like, fancy, important people walking through. I saw Louis Giglio in the lobby the other day, and I'm like, I can't walk up to him. I'm literally wearing a black Orlando City shirt and jeans. I look like garbage and I can't be like, hi, I work for IJM. Nice to meet you. I have to go under the radar. So
okay,
it's collars. That was a big regret of this year.
So 2018, we're going collars. How many days a week?
I'm going to go four. I'm going to give myself Friday because no one is here Friday. This place shuts down Friday and I'm here doing the new activist alone.
Okay.
So I'm going to go 4 days a week collars.
Okay. 4 days a week collars. Wow, 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 wow.
Talk about setting the lowest possible standard for a normal 37-year-old man.
No, I think like, that.
But this is what most people do. I'm like, I'm going to be a normal adult. I'm not even trying to dress nicely. I'm just not going to be junky.
Right. Okay. I support that totally. I think that's
a great
2018 goal. Do you have other 2018 goals? Do you have any others? I mean, I know we talked we hit on it at the beginning, but let's look forward. We've talked about the pain of the year. You doing a better job of that than I did. But
I'm still missing Grandma.
Do you remember? Here's the highlight of our 2017. When you asked me on stage in front of hundreds of people if I would rather spend time with my dead grandmother or own a jet ski.
You know what I loved about that more than anything was knowing that, like, you didn't have the podcast and Chad, who edits the show, to hide behind. Like, you had to do something in the moment, and you just laughed and tried to, like, get me to not talk about it anymore.
Yeah, I was like, my grandmother.
And it was really clear that I was like, there were a couple people in that audience that got it, and most people were like, he's not quite my demographic.
Not true. You had great reviews.
No, people were very kind.
The reviews were awesome afterwards of you. So,
I really have two things. When I did a sermon one year, and I said out loud what my New Year's resolutions were, and they were so silly, but it was like things I wanted to try to do. And of course, it was just like a minor point in the context of a whole sermon. But it was like, I wanted to learn how to hit a golf ball. I wanted to write a song. I've never written a song. And I wanted to learn how to build a rocking chair.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
And like for 3 years afterwards, people asked me if I did those things, and I didn't do any of them. So I was thinking about it because I'm preaching again on that week, that kind of that dead week between that, you know, because Christmas is on a Monday. Yep. So I'm preaching that Sunday after Christmas, and privileged and honored to do it. And I don't get to preach non-IJM sermons a lot. So I just get to talk. And I was thinking about, like, all right, is this going to be the New Year's resolution talk? And it's not. I was just thinking about, I think for me, there were two things. The first one was I just do want to write. Okay. So it's a small one, but like I'm going to either start just some whatever blog that no one will read or something. Like I just, writing is good for me.
Yeah.
Whether the world sees it or not, I don't know. But that's just an important, like I just keep knowing that. And I read all the books about writing, but ultimately writers write. And I think it's just an important part of my mental health to write.
Perfect.
So that's the first one. And then the second one is, and this is sort of a broad one, but I was thinking about it for the sermon. We recently taught Eve and Lucy how to ride bicycles.
Okay. With training wheels or without?
Well, they've been on training wheels for like years. And finally, they were both like, we're done. And so it was no training wheels. And so, right. So no training wheels. And they did a great job. And they were just both out there practicing and so proud of themselves. And it's just one of those great moments that you never forget, like the first time. She just goes down the street and she's just wobbling all around. But the piece of advice that I, Brianne did a much better job at teaching them. She was much more patient. She just she's more physically adept. She just did a better job. So I basically like just did whatever Brianne was doing. But I did say one thing to the girls that was kind of helpful, because when they would look down when they were riding their bike, they would wobble all over the place. Because if you think about it, when you're riding a bike, you look down, you kind of see the road, and you don't have a sense of you really need to be looking like 5 and 10 feet ahead of you.
Sure.
And as soon as I said, like, Eve, just look straight ahead, like, all of a sudden the bike leveled out and she was just coasting down the street because it wasn't. And I feel like I am really tyranny of the urgent.
Yeah.
Like, and then I feel like that's my life a little bit, is what's right now, what's the big project tomorrow. And it's not like by the end of this year, I'd like to be a lot healthier.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of this year, I'd really like to have, you know, read and significantly ingested parts of scripture that I have not before.
Okay.
By the end of this year, I'd like to have written some stuff that's really helpful for me. But if I think of it in terms of like January 1st, I want to do this. But it's like, I want to look up a little bit and be just a little more long range about my life than I am, because I feel like this year just blew by and it's not that different than it was last year.
Mm.
And I just feel like we've got, how much time do we have on this? I don't mean to be macabre about it, but you're like, this year was for as hard of a year as it was, this year was still a gift. And I think that I used it in some ways well. And I also think I just blew a lot of time sort of just dealing with what was happening this evening. So I just kind of want to look up.
Okay. That's
Annie
beautiful.
Downs.
Well done. That's well really done. Good. Really. I think that's really good. I think that resonates really well with me. And a lot of what my friends and I have been talking about is not even like a slow down necessarily, though I do think there is some of that. You're not saying slow down, you're just saying look up. But there is this I don't want to do what everyone keeps telling me I have to do ness to what's coming, you know?
Yeah,
and not just me, I mean, but just this like, no, that isn't what I have to do. I can look up, you know, like, because I think maybe sometimes I convince myself or other people convince me that the right next move is to pedal harder and look down. And in time, you will get to look up if you've pedaled hard enough and looked down long enough. And and I feel a real like, I mean, I may have said this already. This is where I can't remember the line between what I've said to you as my friend and what I've said to you as my guest on my podcast. But but next year kind of being the year of no thank you, right? Like I did say that to you.
Yeah.
Of just like I just want to say I feel a lot of what – I want to just confirm a lot of what you're saying. I think that is a really healthy direction for us to go as a people group to go like, no, we don't have to do a lot next year for it to be a successful. Maybe what I've learned this year is I did a lot and it didn't feel that great. So maybe next year I will do less in hopes that that actually accomplishes more.
And that's awesome. It's exactly right. And it really isn't an accomplishment issue as much as it is like, I actually stole all of this from a counseling session. And what have we ever said that we haven't kind of just stolen from our counselor?
Thank you.
But like I was in a counseling session. And I really don't like it when she does the silly like pretending things. But I always
what
play
does that
along.
Mean? Where she like makes you act something like, out?
Yeah, she's like, why don't you go ahead and talk to your family member that harmed you? I'm like, I don't want to pretend talk to somebody, but you know, you try to do what they're asking to do. But she said like, here's where you are now. She's like, what would it be like if that chair over there was where you really, really like your deepest, deepest desires were? And I told her it would be da 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 da. You know, I told her all the things and she's like, and then she said like, go sit in that chair. And so I sat down in it and like for just a brief second, I just got this overwhelming release. And it was like, oh, like it is actually possible. It is possible for me to get through the thing that I'm dealing with or the things I'm dealing with. It really is possible to, you know, to quote, what is it? Live your best life now.
Oh my gosh. Like, sure.
I mean, when has Joel Osteen not been a part of our conversation?
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. But it really is possible. And, you know, then that of course comes back to thinking about Christmas and little baby Jesus and all of that. And you realize you're like, oh man, if I was able to prioritize the things that actually mattered, the things that God has entrusted to me and that care that God hopes for me and that I'm not a slave to the law and all of that. Like if I was able actually, I guess it's probably, it comes down to a grace issue, doesn't it? But
well, I was just thinking it comes down to a trust issue. Cause I think a lot of the times we run fast or work hard is because we think if we don't do it, it won't get done. Or the the narrative I've wrestled with for so much of December when I'm dreaming about 2018 has been, well, if you do that, you won't be able to afford fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Like if you, well, and even today I was having a conversation with myself going, well, I mean, you can make that choice, but you're going to have a different lifestyle and you're going to have to live differently and you're not going to have any, pretty much saying, if you don't say yes, you're not going to have any money.
Right.
And that is not gospel at all.
Yeah. But you have a very different road. I do not envy the spot that you're in sometimes because it is amazing that you are cultivating this conversation with people, but it really is like there is only one Annie F. Downs,
right?
Like if you aren't doing, and that's got to be a hard road to walk. I would to be the real solo person that's doing it. I don't envy that, but I respect the fact that you're still making the choice, even in the midst of it being so directly tied to you.
Yeah, we're trying. I mean, I'm trying. I mean, that's kind of how everybody who does a job like me has to figure it out, right? And I do think that's true a little bit for you because you feel that way about new activists. If you didn't care about it and want to see it do well, you could quit. But you care.
Yeah.
And you are the face of it, even though it's IJMs.
Yeah.
Right?
But I never had braces, so I'm not the face they hope for.
Thank you. No. You have perfectly straight teeth, which is going to make everyone angry forever. Eddie, thank you for being on the show with us.
This is it. We did it?
Yeah, we did it. I mean, I'm going to do the outro, but you're not going anywhere because we're going to do it different this time. But I genuinely was thanking you for being on the show. I love when you come on the show.
Hey, happy holidays. I'm over Merry Christmas, but I'm just all happy holidays
happy
now.
Happy New Year. Very exciting. Yes. That's because everyone's hearing this between Christmas and New Year's in that little betweener spot.
Oh, that little magical week. Well, I
hope that magical week where we literally do nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. Which I am so grateful for.
Indeed, buddy. Thanks for having me. This was, as always, totally.
I think you're our number one guest in our hearts, but also I don't think anyone's been on the show as much as you.
I mean, this will be the third time I got to be a part of.
No, it's your fourth time because you have two episodes.
Really?
Now this is your third full episode.
Oh, man.
We have the sandals episode, if you'll recall. And then we have last year's Christmas episode, and then you're on the live show.
Right. I combined sandal and Christmas into one, but yeah.
Don't do that to us. That's two different things.
I hear about that sandal episode more than anything else ever, and I record 2 hours of podcast with Relevant every single week. I've still never heard anything more than that sandal.
Well, me either. That is the one that keeps coming back up. That's why we keep having you back. You keep being requested. Hey, stick around. Let me do the outro. Are you ready?
I'm ready, pipe in
as you need to.
I can't not, so thanks for giving me
exactly.
permission.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Friends, wasn't that a great interview with Eddie Koffelt? always great to have him on the show. Totally loved it. And Eddie, by the way, do you know the trick that you're supposed to smile when you're doing intros and outros because it makes you sound different?
Oh, no, I didn't. But, but that'll help the new activist because right now it's pretty clear that I'm scowling.
Yeah, you need to start smiling all the time. Friends, there is nothing real else important to tell you today. If you need to find me and Eddie, we're embarrassingly easy to find on the internet. Eddie, what are you? Edward or Eddie?
Yeah, that's the Twitter one. Newactivist.is, that's the website for the show.
Okay. And do you do Instagram or no?
Not really.
I don't really see you out there. Yeah.
I have a real love-hate with Instagram. I don't know what to do with it, but keep going.
Wow,
I've never done a story. What am I going to do with all that?
I love storying.
I know you do, and I just don't, but whatever. So, right. Twitter, I guess.
Twitter. Edward or Edward or Eddie?
Yeah.
That's it. Edward or Eddie, and I'm Annie F. Downs, F as in fancy, easy to find, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And hey, Eddie will confirm this. It helps a lot if you guys get a chance to rate and review the show. It totally does good things, puts the show in the right spot in front of people who don't already know that they are welcome here. Right, Eddie? Doesn't it help?
Oh, that's not even like a joke. Like the way iTunes algorithms work, it really helps them to promote your show. So yes, make sure everybody knows about AFD. 5 stars, sweet review. Unless you don't feel that way, in which case... You know,
we're letting you be you this year, so you can give me 4.
No, stuff it in a sack. I don't want them to give you 4. Find something else to do.
Okay. Oh, gracious. All right, friends. Hey, and I also just want to say at the end of the year how grateful I am for you guys listening and joining us and tweeting and Instagram and just communicating back and forth with us through the whole year around the podcast. It is truly one of my very, very favorite things I get to do. And knowing you guys are out there and like talking about it has been just incredibly fun for me. So thank you for being part of the family and being part of That Sounds Fun because I really love it. So Eddie, that's you too. Thanks for being part of this. It was really fun.
That can't be all you say. You've got to say more. Okay, Annie has a book out. You didn't even ask me to say this. Your book, you wrote a whole book and released it this year.
You guys should
buy it. It is available everywhere books are sold, but mostly Barnes & Noble and also sometimes Target, except they sell out because it's such a popular
so
book.
So silly, I know.
We love Target a lot, but apparently they did not buy enough books. So we But yes,
they should have them now. They got a new shipment yesterday, and they will get a new shipment on January the 3rd, so that everybody's ready. Because you're right. Thank you. With 100 Days to Brave, it does make a ton of sense to kick that off with the new year. If you want to see 2018 be different, think about anything for 100 days. I remember, for you to think about being brave.
Yeah, and I remember you talking about it early on, like buy it for people. Like if you've read it, this is a good like, hey, here's the beginning of your year. Here's a gift you weren't planning. Just buy Annie's book.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks.
I mean,
100daystobrave.com.
I wrote a whole book. We're going to talk about it. It's a big deal.
I did. I wrote, I could be your friend in your face every day between January 1st and what would 100 days later be? April 10th.
It's an interesting sales pitch.
Right?
I can be all up in your biz for the first 3 months of the year.
That's right. All right, friends. Eddie and I are going to go have fun. What are you going to do, Eddie? What's your fun thing you're going to do now in Orlando?
I am going to disconnect. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's right. This is it for you. You're off after this.
I'm going to build a workbench in my garage.
Cool.
So, yes, I'm feeling
that's awesome.
Pretty into that.
I'm actually really excited about this. I'm sure y'all do this too, Eddie, but I'm going to go do the pre-cleaning before the cleaning lady comes.
Right. I cannot possibly show you that because it would be just too embarrassing.
Right. So that actually sounds really fun to me because I do not like clutter. I don't like having a ton of stuff. So I love getting to kind of get all that together so that we have a clean house starting in 2018. So that's what I'm going to do.
Ooh, it's the internal is a sign of the external, or the other way around, right?
Come on with that. All right, clean friends. Up, so Eddie and I are going to go have fun in our respective cities. You do the same. Go out and do something that sounds really fun to you today. Have a great new year. Super grateful for you. We will see you back here in January with the new kickoff of our new series, all about new rhythms you should add to your life in 2018. We will be back next Thursday. Can't wait to see you guys. Have a great day.